You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We're not Democrats and we're not Republicans. We are Americans at the end of the day. That's who we are. And that's who we are when we are at our best. So this hypersensitivity about politics and reading every comment and wanting to pit one against the other, there's no time for this. The president is doing the right thing.
March the 19th, 2020. You just heard a miracle. Those are the words direct from the mouth of New York Governor Cuomo, stating the obvious. The president is doing the right thing. This is not a time for politics. This is a time for us to be together. I'll get into that in more detail in a moment. The president just finished up a news conference where he's announced that a new drug, quinine, I believe, I can't see exactly all the details on it, is now being cleared for immediate use, and it's showing encouraging results in dealing with the coronavirus. But we have continued to see some bad numbers coming, and this is just the beginning. Last week's jobless claims, 281,000. That's the highest since September 2017. And J.P. Morgan is calling for a sharper U.S. economic contraction due to the pandemic, worse than the 2008 financial crisis. The stock market today did take a hit, fought back at last check, up around 200 plus. What Cuomo was saying a moment ago is something we all need to be taking to heart. And it's interesting because I have addressed this previously and I've said I have yet to hear a single leftist come out and praise the president for what he's doing. Cuomo apparently either got my message, I doubt that, but he obviously recognizes it's correct. We are on a war footing dealing with this disease. This is a time to support the president. Give him everything, every tool he needs and asks for, and make sure we're taking care of things to protect the American public. And at Larry Connors USA Facebook, I've been seeing comments come in. Now, I had one come in from Mark. I know Mark, good guy. We play poker together from time to time, and he was, again, condemning Trump, saying that we finally quit calling it a hoax. He never called the virus a hoax. He called the news coverage of it. Mark still is trying to quote things that are a little bit out of context. He said, well, he did say it. He's talking about, you know, that the left came after me with Russia, and now this latest hoax, he's talking about they're using it as a hoax to condemn him. But we do need to move away from that. And that's what I was trying to imply to Mark. Let's put all that aside. Let's deal with what we are doing now and where we go from here. And I had another email come in, this from a good friend named Jim. He said, I was walking through a store the other day to buy some postage stamps. I was there. I saw all of these empty aisles, and it flashed back to when I was in Russia. He said, we need to realize how good we have it here, what we have been doing, and what we need to continue, and that we cannot have unjustified terror to paralyze our needed efforts. Again, he said, we need to have proper leadership these days. We're going to get into this in more detail coming up over the next 2 hours. There is a question about using ibuprofen, Advil, if you think you might have coronavirus. We'll get into that. And a very big, important concern for many, the checks in the mail. When, how much? We've got more details of that, and that's still developing. 9,400 infected at last report in our nation. 150 deaths. And as we have more testing, we're going to find more infected. But hopefully we're doing everything we can to reduce the casualty rate moving forward. And again, the praise for New York Governor Cuomo. I'm going to spend a lot of time on that. He is a big Democrat, a loud voice of support. I am surprised. I'm glad. I'm actually thankful. That's why I'm going to give him a lot of time on this program. It is true. We are in this together. Partisan politics aside, and yet the left continues to attack Trump. We will get into that part of the story. I can't ignore it. But again, I want to praise those who are recognizing, move past this kind of crap and let's deal with the issue. We've got a lot to cover. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Absolutely certain it's having an effect. When you do the kind of mitigation approaches that are being done right now and all the other effort that's been going in right now, certainly it's having an effect. However, you're going to see tomorrow, as you just mentioned now, there will be more cases and they will continue to go up. That doesn't mean what we're doing is not having an important effect.
Dr. Fauci, with the Department of the Institute of Infectious Diseases, saying everything we're doing is having an impact. The additional testing sites, the mobile testing sites, getting more testing kits out, cutting the red tape that was keeping these testing materials from getting to states as needed. All of these things are game changers. But as we continue to do more testing, we're probably more than likely going to find more Americans exposed and carrying the virus. They may or may not be capable of spreading it at this point, but in a few days, they might be. What we have is a moving target. We're doing our best to contain it, to get a hold on it. In China, where this started, in China, back in November when it first developed, they are now reporting zero cases in that province of China. You're looking at, based on that, 8 to 12 weeks down the road, we should be much, much better off. Maybe a lot shorter time because of things the president is doing and health professionals and private enterprise and the government and the state's leaders, be they in the governor's office or different facilities. I'd mentioned yesterday, the president is handling this as if he's a wartime president on war footing. And in fact, He is, in my opinion. And in fact, later yesterday, he even called himself a wartime president. And I think it's a proper use. He did so as he was invoking the Defense Production Act. The Defense Production Act ensures that the private sector can ramp up manufacturing and distribution of emergency medical supplies and equipment. It gives the White House authority to increase the production of masks, ventilators, respirators, expand hospital capacity. And then he was asked, are you kind of like on a wartime footing? And he said, I think in a sense I am a wartime president at this moment. As of last check, and I think this is based off of mostly yesterday's numbers, but it looks like 7,500 cases of infections reported across the U.S. and maybe 150 deaths. And they're also finding them among the younger. And in some cases, they might have had compromised systems anyway. So it's not just the older. And, of course, you saw the spring break crowds of teenagers going rampant on the Florida beaches. The Florida governor has now said, we're closing the beaches down. You're not going to be allowed to do that. And the general attitude of the kids is being kids, as you were at one time. I'm immortal. It ain't going to bother me. So I get it. Big deal. If they would think down the road, though, you might get it and it won't affect you directly, but then you come in contact with your parents and or grandparents, you're putting them at risk. As I mentioned a moment ago, the president is already working to eliminate any barriers to getting any drugs we need. They are currently looking at this drug I mentioned a moment ago. It's normally to treat malaria. They say they're going to make it immediately available to treat coronavirus. It's been around apparently for a long time, a common drug. Now it's going to be available for prescribed use on coronavirus. He said that could be a game changer. See, problems we have with many drugs is they're not prescribed for a particular cause. They can't be used that way. Well, the president said we are slashing red tape to develop vaccines and therapies as fast as we possibly can. And as he pointed out earlier this week, they began the first clinical trial of a vaccine candidate for the virus. They've been doing some of that in Seattle and elsewhere. He said all of these are being scaled in such a way to allow more Americans to access different drugs that are showing really good promise. He said, we have a couple that we're really in good shape on. That's for immediate delivery. Immediate, like as fast as we can get it. And said the FDA is now approving compassionate use for a significant number of patients. That means basically everybody's telling you, well, that drug won't work. It might even cause you more harm. But you make the decision. You as a patient say, you know what? I'll go with the drug. It's got to be better than what I might be facing. This is going to open the door in many ways beyond just this virus, which is good. I think Americans should be able to make their own decisions, informed, but have information. Now the issues about what else is the president going to be able to do. Now I mentioned the Defense Production Act, and right after he signed that, here came former Vice President Joe Biden saying, the president should invoke the Defense Production Act. Somebody got to Joe a little late and said, he already did. And here came Nancy Pelosi saying, you should immediately use your powers under that act. Well, why do you think he would get it otherwise, Nancy? This act was first enacted in 1950. That was in response to the Korean War, or police action, as some have said. Those who were in it say it was a war, not a police action. And it's been reinvoked more than 50 different times. It streamlines production of medical supplies to help the nation battle a pandemic. It requires businesses to sign contracts or fulfill orders necessary for national defense. It's obviously needed now. The president said, I'm using it in a worst-case scenario. I signed it. We are going to do it. And, of course, they have begun to expedite materials such as simple as masks. I have to admit, I'm surprised that you had to go through mask as one of those issues. But there's more to it than just that. It comes with it also the not just production of more masks, but ventilators and respirators. And all of those are going to be needed in greater numbers. The capacity for hospitals is already a big issue. It's a big issue in New York City, and it's a big issue on the West Coast. Doesn't mean it's not an issue elsewhere, but on those two areas, you know what the president has ordered? Two of our hospital ships, Mercy and Comfort, the big white ships with the big Red Cross, to be stationed along those shores and be readily available for additional beds as needed. And, of course, additional medical help. And we've had Congress working rapidly on these stimulus packages, a $1 trillion stimulus package coming out in different phases. Part of it, of course, to help the economy directly with businesses such as airline industry, cruise industry, and many others that have been directly impacted. Small Business Administration for the hundreds of thousands of restaurants that have had to close or realized they should close. No one's going to come in anyway. And their loss. And then, of course, you get to the individuals that are caught up in this mess. Folks who had a job, they might not have been earning a lot, but they had a job. And they were able to support themselves, even if it was check to check. But now you take that check away, that's a desperate situation. Some of us are more blessed. We are not going to be pushed against the wall like that. Others are. And the Treasury Secretary had said today, I want to pass direct payments to the American families. He said, I refer to this as checks in the mail, but it's really going to be money directly deposited. The Treasury Secretary detailing a proposal to send $1,000 to each American adult, $500 per child. That could be up to a $3,000 cap for a family of four. And the Treasury Secretary says, just as soon as Congress passes it, we'll get this out in 3 weeks. And then 6 weeks later, if the president deems it's still a national emergency, we'll deliver another $3,000. The Treasury Secretary points out, this is not going to go on forever. We're going to beat this, but we're going to help Americans in the process. So you should be getting, in 3 weeks, a direct deposit into your bank account or by whatever means is determined at that point. A check for $1,000. And I think they've got a cutoff point. The last I saw, if you earn less than $120,000 or $140,000 a year last year, or actually be based on the year before because your returns aren't in yet for 19, then you will be getting that. Now, if you earn more than that, you won't. And so maybe you're not as well off as you were then, so that's going to create still a hardship for others. It's also going to provide $300 billion for small businesses, helping them hire people, keep others on the payroll. As the Treasury Secretary said, 40% of the private workforce, we want to keep these people employed. I've seen folks looking and saying, you know, I don't have a job. I have a friend, as a matter of fact, that showed up on one of my Facebook accounts saying, he's going to be okay, but he knows others in the restaurant business, and there's nowhere to go. Well, there are. In fact, major grocery stores throughout the St. Louis area I know and elsewhere across the nation have stepped up hiring. They need more people in to stock, get things out, and in some cases prepare for home delivery for folks who can't or will not come into the store. They call in an order, they're going to need help getting it to them. Check with the grocery stores. Domino's and other pizza outlets have said the same. Domino's has said, we need to hire 10,000 employees because this scenario has changed everything. Folks aren't getting out to get their food. They want it to be brought to them. And why not have a Domino's, right, or some kind of pizza? Mortgages. The president has made it clear, no foreclosures. No foreclosures during this time. He's doing everything he can at every possible weak link we have. Will some still fall through? I'm sure. Will there be additional efforts added? I'm sure of that. But if you don't think this is a war, my friend, you are living in an entirely different world than most of us right now. And I mean by that the world, not just the U.S. economy. By the way, there was a question raised about use of ibuprofen. If you think you might have the virus or you're kind of battling it, should you take ibuprofen? We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll let you hear the word directly from Dr. Fauci, who's the head of the infectious disease program, as to the basis of this warning and what you should know and take in consideration. We'll take a short break. Be right back.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, out on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I mentioned earlier that in China, the origin of the coronavirus, COVID-19, in that specific region, Wuhan, Hubei, they're reporting zero new cases of coronavirus. They've reported 8 more deaths, but they already had the virus, no new cases. That's good. The virus first reported in that region in December 2019. Our nation was not properly informed for several weeks, and even the World Health Organization took China at its word that no big deal, no big deal. But President Trump decided to start stopping planes coming from China, and then later U.S. carriers decided to get on board and do the same thing. Or this could be much worse. One of the things that folks have been hearing, that if you think you might have coronavirus and you haven't even been tested yet, should you take ibuprofen? Is that a danger for you? Well, Dr. Fauci with the Institute for Infectious Diseases has the answer. Is it true or not to take ibuprofen?
Well, you know, there is no real scientific data, Tucker, that tells you that that is a fact or evidence-based. I think what they're referring to is they want to be the better part of really being cautious, because there is a syndrome that's associated with the use of aspirin in children with influenza that gives them a neurological syndrome called RISE syndrome. And I believe what they're thinking, yes, since there's a relationship, obviously, between non-steroidals and aspirin, that maybe there'll be some harm. But there's no real study that definitively proves that, but they're just trying to be very cautious.
And again, those are the words of Dr. Fauci appearing on Tucker Carlson last night. And I think any parent has, I hope, has heard at some point, you don't give aspirin to your baby if they have a fever because of that RISE syndrome. So some apparently are making that linkage, but as The head of the Infectious Institute said, there's no clear evidence. It's just abundance of caution. There are other options, so you don't have to turn to it. You know another way this is changing life? In Maryland, a priest has set up a communal outside in the parking lot for parishioners who want to come for their confession but don't want to enter the facility. They can just sit in their car, pull up, drop the window down, and he will hear their confession and absolve them and tell them, go forward and do no more. But it's there are folks that are taking advantage of it. Life is changing, but it's going to go back to the other way. Now, if he could also offer some treatment for coronavirus at the same time, that'd be better yet. But at least he can help them deal with guilt and set their lives straight, which is always good for all of us. I've got an expert coming up, and all the bailout programs I've been telling you about for you as an individual and businesses, is this going to be a good idea? Is this going to find us at the wrong end of a shotgun when this is all done? Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I've been laying out for you some of the things the government is doing and plans to do to keep the economy on track, to help everything from large businesses to mom and pop stores to individuals. Is it going to be enough? And at the end of it, what? We're joined by Joel Griffith, the Heritage Foundation, an expert in economic issues. Joel, glad to have you on board with us.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Well, let me get down, first of all, on where we stand. That we're told by a report from J.P. Morgan that this is going to be a sharper economic contraction the second quarter because of the pandemic. It's going to be worse than the 2008 financial crisis. Now, I don't know if they're basing it on if we did nothing or even with pieces in place that we're going to try to do. What's your assessment?
Well, I think it's also important to keep in mind what the other side of that report is. So we're expecting there to be a very sharp contraction in the second quarter, followed by, I think they're projecting an 8% jump in annualized GDP in the third quarter, because unlike the situation in 2007-2008, this was not triggered by a structural problem. This was triggered by a pandemic. And I think a lot of us are already seeing the results of the slowdown because our restaurants and bars, gyms, shopping centers, a lot of them are closed. And I'm not saying that's not a good precaution. But the fact is, we kind of all know if you can't go shop and you can't work and the factories are shut, there's going to be a contraction. But fortunately, this is expected to be where we should be able to see the economy begin to rebound because once this is contained, once the virus is contained, once we begin to win that battle, that means we can get back to normal and begin to work again and spend again and invest again.
I fully agree with that, and I was going to bring that upside up, but I'm glad you did. And in fact, you can see it reflected, and we wouldn't judge anything by the stock market on a day-to-day basis, except that we have seen that the Dow dropping down below 20,000, and now with some of these latest moves, the congressional stimulus package getting through, the Treasury Secretary saying, I want to get checks out immediately. We saw it move back up above that mark. It could still slide again. But as you said, we are dealing with something here that is not going to be permanent, you know, to our understanding of what we're trying to do anyway.
Yeah, but that's why I think we need to be very cautious in terms of how we're addressing this from the economic perspective. We've seen a lot of positive actions with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is there to ensure that our credit markets remain liquid, and we've seen the Fed take a numerous positive actions, including lowering the target rate on interest to make sure that banks are lending. That's all good. That's the positive. But then we've seen these other proposals that we need to be very cautious of. We need to take a deep breath, let some of these measures work that we've already seen with the Fed, but buying up hundreds of billions of dollars of private company debt, which is under proposal now for the Fed, and then another proposal to have the federal government begin lending directly to consumers and businesses. This is something we need to take a deep breath before going down that road.
Let me take that apart in two segments. Let's begin first with small business loans. Now, that's different than loaning to the big corporations that are looking maybe to wipe out some problems on their bottom line.
Well, there is a difference there, but even when it comes to small business loans, we need to exercise caution, make sure that the Small Business Administration is exercising proper precautions in lending. But some of the programs I'm more worried about are just this idea that we're just going to buy up $1 trillion worth of corporate debt, and then there's even been some suggestions that the government would go ahead and become part owner of a lot of these private companies that are coming to them for a bailout.
We're seeing that in France and another company, a country, I forgot which one, talking about nationalizing the airlines.
Yeah, this is not. We need to be very cautious, but I would say we need to stay far away from such nationalization efforts. You know, you never want to see a company go under, and especially in a situation like this where this is caused by a pandemic. But the fact is, we shouldn't go ahead and put those losses and those risky assets on the shoulders of taxpayers. We have a system in place where, in an extreme circumstance with some of these companies, let's use an airline, for example, if those assets would become very risky or they couldn't pay their bills, there is a process by which those assets go ahead and get sold off to others. And that is unfortunate for those particular owners of that company. But that's why we have a system, a free market system, in which as an investor, I can invest through a mutual fund if I want to, in 20 different industries, in 100 different companies. And any one company, it's going to hurt if it goes under, but I won't be completely wiped out. And you got to remember, these companies, if one were to even go bankrupt, those assets don't disappear. They still they go to a new owner.
I have to ask, you're listening to Joel Griffin of the Heritage Foundation. The concern that there will be those, even major corporations, and the members of the left have made this clear that, you know, we're bailing out all the big corporations. Well, my point is that, well, the corporations are the ones who hire people, and they're going to need help to make sure they can hire the people. But there's no doubt there could be some in there trying to, you know, pull a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little dance, a little seltzer in your pants, and give me some more money.
And so we think during this crisis, we need to make sure any aid is targeted and temporary. And by that, I mean, look, there are going to be people that are laid off. We see this. I mean, in my home state, I think 78,000 filed for unemployment the last few days. It is sad, and I think that we need to make sure we have aid targeted. We, at the Heritage Foundation, we had a proposal that would allow companies to keep people on the payroll in these epidemic areas that have to stay home, not just because they're sick, but because a lot of these bars, restaurants, service centers aren't allowed to open. And we want to go ahead and actually help them and direct money and help enable these companies to keep them on the payroll for the next 60 days. I'm all for helping for people like that.
Now,
so that's a big difference between that and bailing out.
Yeah, and our jobless claims jumped up to 200, pardon me, 281,000 last week, and this is the beginning. The checks planning to go out from the Treasury Department, maybe up to 3,000 for a family of four going out in 3 weeks, and another 3,000 6 weeks after that if necessary. Is that going to be effective? I mean, obviously it's putting money into folks' hands, but is it solving anything other than that immediate thing? And as you say, at the end of it, then what?
Well, that ends up, the $1,000, $2,000 check, it ends up being a windfall to people like myself who are able to work remotely. But and it actually is insufficient for those that are actually directly impacted by this. And then we end up with hundreds of billions of dollars of additional national debt. And we got to think about what's going on here. We've got, on one hand, local government, in many cases rightfully so, saying, don't go out, don't shop, don't spend. And then we're going to act as if the slowdown is a typical recession where people aren't spending because of other factors, and we're going to give them money to actually encourage them to actually go against what the state and local governments are actually telling them to do, and which is stay home, don't spread the virus. This doesn't make sense. Let's direct the aid directly to those who need it. Those are people that are being laid off or having their hours rolled back because the companies can't open. Let's not do the helicopter deal and drop $1,000 bills all over the country.
I'm glad you jumped to the deficit, because that was next on my target list for you. I mean, the president has not done what he said he's going to do. The Republicans have not done so. We do not have control of the deficit. And every time it's been, well, let's get past this midterm election, let's get past this, it's always something else. And I've kind of bought excuses. And yet if the economy's cooking and moving forward, it's all great. But right now, as you say, it's short term. Hopefully it won't be like 08 in any fashion, and it's not, but we're not getting control of any deficit at this point.
No, we're not. Remember what sparked the Tea Party? That was 11 years ago. I remember vividly living in Chicago when that got underway, and that was during the financial crisis when hundreds of billions of dollars were being proposed, and we finally actually started to look and say, we've got to have a focus on the spending deficit. So I hope we have a renewed focus. It doesn't seem like many in either party really care about getting it under control. I know for the time being we need to focus on this, and I think that, you know, if we want to see our economy rebound quickly, that means we need to contain this virus, exercise social distancing, get this under control so that we can go ahead and get back to work and get back to normal.
All right,
let's not take on needless debt in the process.
Let me. I want to give you a minute without me interrupting, and that is explain that you and the group have been proposing basically a credit card advance payment or something of that nature. Explain that quickly.
We have a concept that would allow those that are unemployed those that cannot work remotely, that have to be at home for the time being, would be a tax credit to the employer to keep them on the payroll for the time being, number one. Number two, we are encouraging the government in those situations where you know you're going to be buying services from companies, go ahead and pre-buy. It's not a bailout. It's just going ahead and helping with the cash flow problem by going ahead and pre-purchasing future services. And number three, we have a solution. Rather than a bailout to these companies, let's go ahead and let companies that have made profits in the past, but they're going to have a loss this quarter, roll back that loss to the prior quarter in which they had to pay tax, and you basically get a refund on prior taxes paid. So it's not a bailout, but it helps these companies that are experiencing a loss because of the pandemic. It helps them have cash to go ahead and weather the storm.
Very good. Joel, I want to thank you very much for your time. We covered a lot of topics, and we'll probably have you back because this is going to be another part of this story for some time to come.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Joel Griffith with the Heritage Foundation. All excellent ideas. And as we said, we're not going to solve the deficit this time around. And right now, the crisis is dealing with our American people and their needs. We do have industries that are thriving right now, and they are looking for employees. And there are those who are helping you and this nation stay afloat and move forward. I'm talking about air, rail, road, shipping, cargo. Let's take a look at that and thank them for what they're doing for us in a moment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Unemployment websites in Kentucky, Oregon, New York, and others have crashed. folks trying to get in to file for unemployment, sites have gone down. There's been a big surge, something like 260,000 stepping forward now. A survey that was wrapped up last Tuesday, 2 days ago, said 18% of those responding said in their family, at least one or more people, have lost their job or are on the verge of losing it because of the coronavirus. 18% of every American family, and that's based on something 2 days ago. We do have those working. We have those working where we need points delivered. Trucking, air, rail, ship, barge, all of these continue to move supplies as needed to locations where needed. We don't have in our grocery stores depleted products everywhere. You may want to go to one store and they may not have particularly what you have or want, but many are working on it. And many of those same grocery stores are now looking to hire more people to keep stocking and to help with home delivery. And every time you see a truck on the highway right now, regardless of what it's carrying, it's serving America. And we do thank those American truck drivers and those who run our rails and the barges up and down the Mississippi and other waterways and ships and those in air cargo. All of these are essential. Whether or not you get that little gimmick you wanted to buy from Amazon delivered on time, I could care less. But they're also not putting those aside if they can continue to meet customer demand and request and deliver. So we have a network in this nation of hard-working Americans who are probably putting in more hours than previous, be they working for UPS, FedEx, a local cargo, a local transit. They're there and they're doing it and they're doing the best they can, and hopefully they don't get sick and have to be taken out or even suspected sick and have to go into quarantine. This is how we come together. And this is why in the next hour, I'm going to spend some inordinate amount of time praising New York Governor Cuomo. If you didn't hear the beginning of this hour, you're thinking, what is wrong with Larry? What is wrong? He must have the virus. And in fact, when we were pulling some of the sound bites of Cuomo, my director, Quentin, said, what's with Cuomo? My answer at the time is, he started drinking the sweet tea instead of the unsweetened tea. But what he is saying is right on target of what this nation needs to be doing at this point. We have gotten so petty, so bitter, so partisan. And yes, for the most part, it comes from the left attacking the right because of Trump winning the presidency. I've got some very good friends, and I saw one of them put up on a Facebook remark the other day, said, when are we going to get a president who knows how to lead in this situation? I think he is leading. Is he going to do everything you think he should be doing? Is he going to do everything right in your opinion? I don't know if he could ever measure it to that. But for those who are already built into the resist movement, he's not going to be able to do anything right. But in the next hour, you're going to hear from one of the biggest voices in the Democrat Party saying this president is doing what is right. And there's also a member of the squad of those newly elected fresh women congresswomen, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and others, who is also coming out and shut my mouth. I mean, they are praising the president. And again, if you had told me that this woman said what I'm going to report in the next hour, I would have said, you got hold of a fake news site. You had to. Does that mean they're going to stop the attacks? No. Does it mean we're all going to be kumbaya going forward? No. And in fact, the attacks do continue even as I speak. And part of it gets down to because the president continues to say Chinese virus. And he got attacked in the White House yesterday, verbally. By attacked, I mean questioned, and that, I wouldn't call it an attack, but criticized. Why do you continue saying Chinese virus? You and I know the answer. The reporter asking the question knows the answer because that's where it originated. But what they're trying to instill and plant the seed of this is evidence of racism, xenophobia, and this man should not be president because of those things. So while I want to praise Cuomo and members of the left who are looking at this as the way we should in a national emergency, there are still the others who are going to continue to stand off in the shadows and throw stones and yell slurs and slanders. I'm not going to take my eye off of them. We'll put the spotlight on them. They cannot get deep enough in the shadows where we won't see them. We'll deal with all of that. It's coming up in the next hour. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.